firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to...
I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. That's what John the Baptist said of himself in John chapter 1, verse 23. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and this is one of the many great statements that we'll hear today as we travel through the landscape of John chapter 1 in verses 19 to 50. So if you can, grab your Bibles and hop aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's Word. Now, what John the Baptist said resonated so much with Dr. McGee that he referenced it in a farewell statement that he gave more than 20 years ago. Let's listen to that now.
The Bible bus continues to roll down the highway of time, and you see no one at the driver's seat. Actually, the same driver is there who has been there all the time, the Holy Spirit. He is the real teacher who alone can take the things of Christ and show them unto you. I was just a voice crying in the wilderness of this world, and I'm still just a voice. That's all.
Well, many years after Dr. McGee said that, we're grateful to say that Through the Bible now has many voices in over 100 languages and dialects, all proclaiming God's Word to the world. And we'd like to invite you to come along with us. You can partner with us in prayer or by providing a tank of gas to keep the Bible bus chugging along. So visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE to partner with us. And if studying God's Word together is making a difference in your life, we'd love to hear about it. Letters like this one from Ukraine are such an encouragement. I remember the day when the Lord touched my heart through your programs. It was about how to understand the Psalms. I'm so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done in my life, for freeing me from a false teaching. Your programs bring the living word of truth, and my wife and I listen to them together. Through them, the Lord strengthens us in our faith. We pray for you. Thank you so much. And then here's an email from a new listener in Turkey. I'm a new believer. Can you please pray that God will help me as I take this new step? I need you to pray that he will save me from all my sins and help me to live according to the words of Jesus Christ. I wish you peace. Well, praise God for this new sister. So what's your story? How's God using our studies in his word to change or challenge you? Is there maybe a particular study or verse that's been meaningful to you? Well, if so, we want to hear about it. So tell us by simply calling our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can email biblebus@ttb.org. And of course, you can always mail your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that encourages and challenges and keeps us on track. Use this time to speak to our hearts and help us to know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, we've spent some time, friends, here in the introduction and this prologue to the Gospel of John. The reason is that we consider it very important, in fact, all important. And we have three remarkable statements in verses 1 and 2, then in verse 14, and then verse 18. And there are three statements in each one of them, and we've attempted to put those three statements together. And we saw that they correspond to, well, what's this universe that you and I live in today? How would you divide the universe? Well, I told you about the scientists up in New Jersey that told me, he says, this universe can be divided into time, space, and matter. Could you think of a fourth something that ought to go into this universe? And we attempted to divide these three like that. You have here time, space, and matter in all of them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Reaches back yonder into eternity past. Time, space. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh, came down, and Paul describes that, how he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and he came all the way down to this earth. I tell you, he compassed space, and a little trip to the moon isn't even to be compared to the fact he came from heaven's glory and came all the way down to the death of the shameful cross. And then matter, and that's verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he'th declared him. And if I may put it bluntly, he became matter, became a man, took upon himself our humanity. And this is the way you and I can know about God. Now you can in turn divide time, space, and matter, each one of them into three. For instance, time is past, present, and future. And can you add something to that? In the beginning was the Word. That's past. Present, the Word became flesh. That is, in our day, he came down and became a man. And future, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he hath declared him. And even the Apostle Paul had to say at the end of his life, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That looks into the future. Someday we're going to be in his presence and we're going to come to know him, how wonderful he is. And then will you look at space? And we have length and breadth and height. In the beginning was the Word. And that reaches way back. Breadth. He came down to this earth and was made flesh. And then the height. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son that's in the bosom of the Father, he came from the heights to set him before us. That's space, if you please. And then we have matter, and matter's divided into three, energy, motion, and phenomena. Now, energy, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. What energy? He spoke in this universe, came into existence. And what a tremendous thing that is. And then motion. The Word was made flesh. He came out of heaven's glory, and he came to this earth. And then the phenomena, greatest phenomenon in this world is Jesus Christ. The wonders of the ancient world. The wonders to see in our day. And all the findings of science are nothing in comparison to the wonder of the incarnation. God became a man, and he came down to this earth to reveal God and to redeem man. And friends, you can't get anything bigger than this. How tremendous this is. This prologue is awe-inspiring, and though it's simple language, you and I'll never be able to plumb the depths in this life. Now let me move on into our study that we set before us for today. And we read here in verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Now, this is the first incident in the life of John, which John here in his gospel gives us a record. We have no beginning here of this man, the birth of him, like you have over in Luke. And this is the record of John. And what was it? Well, they came and asked him, who art thou? And there's a subtle temptation in that. Here was an opportunity to make something of himself. But this man very frankly confessed, and he said he must increase, but I must decrease. What a statement that is. And that's a statement that not only should a believer make, but he ought to live that statement. He must increase, but I must decrease. And friends, both can't be on top. Either Christ is primary in your life, occupies first place, or you, that is, the selfish I, will be on top. You can't have both. He must increase, and I must decrease, or else it'll be the other way around. He was asked the question by the people, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, I am not the Christ. You see, they cleverly suggested that he might be the Messiah, and they had a messianic hope. And he made it very clear, I'm not the Christ, I'm not the Messiah. You're looking to the wrong man. Well, then, if he's not Christ, then he must be some other great person. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? That is Elijah. And he said, I am not. And then they said, art thou that prophet? That is a prophet like unto Moses, which way back in Deuteronomy, God promised he had sent. And he answered, no. And you notice how matter of fact John is here. His answers are very terse and very brief, and they get briefer as they continue to question him. Who art thou? He says, I'm not the Christ. And they said, then you must be Elijah. He said, I am not. And then they said, well, you must be that prophet that was predicted. It gives an emphatic no. Now notice what they did. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? They said, you must tell us who you are. We can't take back a bunch of negatives and say, he's not this, and he's not this one, or that one, or the third one. And so he identifies himself here. Listen to John. And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He's the voice. You see, Christ was the word. John was the voice. Over the radio today, and as you listen to me right now, I'm reduced to a voice. I've been going around holding radio rallies, and I've enjoyed meeting so many of our listeners. And many of these people say, well, I have a face now to go with the voice. Or I've often wondered how you look. And I sometimes say to these folk, especially when some dear sweet lady comes up to me and says, I've been listening to you and I wonder what you look like. And I say, well, you thought I was a little, short, ugly old man. And they say, oh my, no. Of course, they try to get away from that one. And I say, well, you found out you were right after all. Well, may I say that I'm just a voice here. Now, that's all John wanted to be. And you can be sure of one thing, that we are more than a voice, and we want to be more than a voice. But John was willing to be no more than just a voice. That was all. And he had a grand message to give, a message greater than he is. And frankly, I'm satisfied just to be a voice, because certainly the message we've got is greater than the individual. And I think one of the beauties about radio is that a personality doesn't get involved here, that it's just the voice that you hear, and that voice should, of course, declare the glories of Christ. Now, he had a grand message to give here, and will you listen to him as he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. In other words, it's a grand message, get ready for the coming of the Lord. And I take it that that's what he meant. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was at hand in the person of the king, you see. And he says, make straight. In other words, get the crooked things out of your life. And friends, we're not going to have fellowship with him and not get very far with him until we are willing to deal with the crooked things that are in our lives, the things that are wrong. And when we do that, then there is open for us fellowship. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie. As someone has said, Captain Jack, I think, years ago, I will dig a ditch so straight and true that even God can look it through. Well, that's the thing we need to get straight in our lives, and we can get that straight by confession, of course. Now, will you notice here, he's quoting Isaiah, of course. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And that's in Isaiah 43. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? They ask him now a technical point. If you're none of these, why do you baptize? Well, now listen to John's answer. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. Now, we call him today John the Baptist, but he denied that he was the Baptist. He said, I only use water. Said, there's coming one after me, and he's going to baptize with fire and Holy Spirit. And that fire is a baptism of judgment that's yet to come upon the earth, by the way. And the Holy Spirit baptism took place at Pentecost. Now, I wonder if Christ was in the crowd there that day. I don't know. He could have been. Now, will you notice? He that comes after me, he says, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. Now, a servant must do every task of his master, but a disciple must do every task except take the thong out of the teacher's shoes. That was the rule of that day. Now, John says, I'm a servant. I'm not even a disciple. I'm just a servant. I'm not even worthy to be that servant, but that's what he was. Now in verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now I called attention at the beginning that John gears us in to the geography and to the calendar. And here we have a geographical location given to us. Now will you notice we have the time. The next day, John constantly gears the one who came out of eternity and the Word was made flesh and he was geared into our calendar down here and to our clock so that the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, John marks him out here. He is the Savior. He is not only the Messiah, he is the Savior. He's the Lamb. And he is a very great Savior. He's the Lamb of God. He's a complete Savior. And he takes away the sin of the world. He's an almighty Savior. And he taketh, present tense. He's a perpetual Savior. So that anyone can come to him anytime. And here is the answer that Abraham gave to his son Isaac. Isaac said, here's the altar and the wood, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. Here is the lamb. And this now proves that Cain was wrong. Abel was right. Abel brought a little lamb. And all the lambs that were slain on Jewish altars down through the ages now find their fulfillment in him. And John marks him out and says, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he says, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. In other words, John says, he's the real baptizer, Jesus the Baptist, if you please. He's the baptizer. He's the one that'll baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Fire is the judgment that's yet to come on this earth. Now, I want to just continue to read. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove that abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, the next day, verse 35, again the next day after John stood two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Before, it was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's the work of Christ, the Lamb of God now, the person of Christ. He is the Lamb in his person. And we find here that John now baptizing him and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And these two disciples now follow. And Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say being interpreted, "Master, where do you dwell?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." That's his invitation to you today. Come and see. Taste of the Lord and see whether he's good or not. They came and saw where he dwelt, abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Notice how we're geared into time. It was late in the evening. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, Andrew had been a follower of John the Baptist. What does he do first? He goes after his own brother Simon, saith unto him, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Now this man had been as weak as water. Our Lord says, "You'll be the stone man." And I think everybody laughed there that day because nobody believed he could become the rock man, the man who'd stand up on the day of Pentecost and give the first sermon in the church. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. That's up on the Sea of Galilee. Again, we're dealing with geography, you see. And we know that Andrew and Peter, all of them lived up there. They were fishers. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We found him who Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael, he's a wiseacre. He makes a wise crack here. "And Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph," Philip said. That's who he is. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And I think he laughed at his own joke, by the way. But Philip didn't. Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." And that's the thing. Come to Christ. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." Here's an Israelite in whom there's no Jacob. You see, this man was a wisecracker, but he didn't mean anything by it. A great many people kid, and they don't mean a thing in the world by it at all. I always like the man with a sense of humor. I'm afraid of the man who doesn't have a sense of humor, like Nathanael, you know. And Nathanael's overcome by him. An Israelite in whom there's no Jacob. He's not being clever. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." The Lord Jesus had two doubters that were his apostles. One at the beginning, that's Nathanael. One at the end, that's Thomas. This man now, a doubter, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He confesses immediately. He's the Son of God, the Son of God, King of Israel. That's still a question for many folk. How can any good come out of Nazareth? He spent 30 years there. Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Or thou shalt see greater things than these." Now, what are the greater things than these? Well, I'm going to finish that up next time. And it's one of the greatest of all, because we're still tied into Jacob here. And Jacob saw a ladder let down from heaven. We'll look at that and get into the second chapter when Jesus went to a wedding. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What are those greater things that Jesus talked about? Well, that's a fascinating subject that's carried all the way through the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 51 of the first chapter. I'm telling you, the study of John is great. You're going to get to love every message. Now, in order to get the most out of our time together, I'd like to encourage you to read ahead before we come to each study. That's what I try to do. To help you with that, you can request a free bookmark that lists the scripture readings for each day. To get yours, call 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask for it. And if you haven't already downloaded Dr. McGee's Notes and Outlines for John, well, you'll want to get those too. You can download them immediately at ttb.org/notes. Of course, they're free, and you can also call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And you can just ask to be put on our monthly mailing list so you'll get the notes at the beginning of every new study. Now, as we break for the weekend, I want to invite you to join us for the Sunday Sermon with Dr. McGee. This week, Dr. McGee's subject is John, written for the wretched man. This is the final program in his great series titled, Why Four Gospels? To see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, or to listen to John, written to the wretched man, or any of the programs in Why Four Gospels, just visit us at ttb.org/Sunday Sermon. Well, that's all for us today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here on Monday for another great adventure in God's Word, here on Through the Bible.
Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.